Hi guys, welcome to another episode. I'm Caroline Steven. It's great to have you join us. Want to become a money magnet? Rick Schnabel joins us today to discuss the real definition of wealth and what wealthy people have in common. And Louise reminds us we only grow when we're being stretched, and she tells us to embrace risk in Mind Power. We have trading trivia as well as my special report tips. But first up, here's the news for the week ending 8th of August. How did the equities markets close in New York, Jono?
Caroline, good morning. It was quite an interesting day's trading, which ended in quite a stunning performance for the Dow. Throughout Friday, our markets were under a lot of pressure. Our market would close down 118 points. Europe followed as well, and more talk, I guess, that the US was going to Iraq really hurt confidence in the markets. But when the US opened, it took a different, a slight change. What we did see, US equity markets closed up 185 points, and the market citing that as news of easing tensions in the Ukraine as Putin backed down on some of his military exercises. So quite interesting, quite a real turnaround, and I think it's going to be quite an interesting week.
So how did that flow onto the Australian markets?
Well, look, it's going to be, when you look at SICOM, which is the overnight futures market for the SPY, closed up 37 points. So, yeah, we're going to get a good day today and perhaps for a couple of days as people digest the new news that the geopolitical events, though there are a lot out there at the moment, aren't perhaps going to have as an adverse effect on the markets as we first thought. So with the SICOM closing up 37 points, probably expect our local market to have a positive day.
Any releases coming out this week?
I think it's when you look at it, the economic side of it is going to be just as important. When I look, we had some Chinese data on the weekend, more to do with the inflation data, and that was all steady. But this week, and more important for Australia, I guess we get the Chinese industrial production and retail numbers. Naturally, that should flow on to some positive news if they are good. And we're expecting reasonable numbers there. Retail sales up 12.5%, industrial production about 9%. That should be quite positive. And in the US, we've got industrial production as well and capacity utilization. So all in all, those releases should help solidify that economic growth is still with us.
Okay, so last week, what were some hot and what were some cold sectors?
I think the market really just focused on geopolitical events. When I looked at the board on Friday, it was red everywhere. So, you know, in my mind, there wasn't just one hot and cold sector. It was people concerned about where the value for the index is at the moment or the share market and what are the events that are going to cause people to take profit or establish shorts. And it all had to do with geopoliticals. And I think the geopolitical market will actually be centre again. Hopefully, let's see that what the US does in Iraq won't lead to much, and then we'll get back on the straight and narrow.
Okay, so what patterns are jumping out from the charts?
Well, look, with the sell-off last week or on Friday, you'd expect a sell-on-rally type of mentality. This is a theme we've had for some time where the market's been consolidating, but the highs are getting less and the lows are getting more. So as a result of that, we still have to adopt, I think, more of a bearish tune to the market, taking profit, but the next couple of days should give us a lift. That could provide an opportunity to place a short.
All right. So what opportunities are you looking at?
I have been looking at, I have been long wheat and gold for the last week, and I've sort of taken out the wheat position this morning because I do feel that Russia is starting to back down, so the relevance isn't really there. Gold, I'm still quite happy to be long, but it's still within a range. But outside that, you know, I think they're probably the two main focuses that I've got. Also got a focus on natural gas. So in the resource sector, it'll still have some work to do.
And what's your advice for traders this week?
Look, I think just stay close to how the market reacts to those geopolitical events we talked. Easing tensions, you know, across the board should be positive for equities, because it takes that guesswork out of how the market will react. And I think the market wants good news. So I'll be focused on that. Also, I want to be focused more on how the Fed is looking and see how economic growth is actually taking hold in the economies. Economic growth taking hold in the economies Remember, there's a lot of loose money out there. There is a sting in the tail of this loose monetary policy. We haven't quite found it yet, but we're keeping very close to it.
And just finally, what's your views on Putin? What do you personally think?
Look, I think he's a very solid character. There's no doubt about it. He flies very close to the wings, I guess, in terms of how he sees things unfolding. I think he did a very smart thing with Crimea, but a very dumb thing with what we're seeing at the moment. It's something where we'll see how it unfolds, but I think he's a very stubborn man and military-minded.
Jono Barrett, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Caroline.
Sick of being the smartest person in the room? Tell your friends about the Talking Trading podcast and let them come to the party too. TalkingTrading.com.au. Rick Schnabel is the founder of Life Beyond Limits, a life coach and NLP training company. He's the author of The Secrets of Creating a Life Beyond Limits and Beliefs. He is, however, best known as Australia's number one brain untrainer. And he joins us now with all his enthusiasm to discuss how to become a money magnet. So, Rick, what's your definition of wealth?
A mentor of mine, Roger Hamilton, said many years ago that wealth is what is left when all your money is gone.
Oh.
And I thought that was profound. I really agree with that, in that when you take it to, let's say, the trading floor, you know, when we start thinking about doing trades, one thing that we build over time is we build our emotional muscle. You know, the moment we let our emotions take us away, you know, get carried away with, you know, getting high and getting low, you know, when we do it wrong, when we do it right. Another one of my mentors said that it's really important to take the excitement out of investing, you know, because equally, we'll often make bad choices when we're really high as much as we'll make bad choices when we're really low.
Mm.
So it's really about keeping calm, you know, and from that perspective is I equally realized that I invested so much in happiness many years ago,
mm-hmm.
to the degree that these days I believe happiness is a myth that we're being sold. And it's not about being happy. It's about being calm. You know, you can maintain calm for months and months and years and years. But happiness, you've got to know the opposite of it in order to know it again. But calm, you can just stay there. Now, if you can take calm to trading, you will find that it will be much easier to trade on a regular basis.
You know, Chris and Louise, pound that message home. Don't have the emotion when you're trading.
Awesome. And that's awesome advice. You know, it's and going back to the meaning of wealth is what's left when all your money is gone. You know, if you lost all your money, you know, if you lost everything, what you would be left with was the ability that created the money in the first place. And so that just means you can do it again, mm-hmm. and do it again and mm-hmm. do it again and do it again. Like, for example, imagine if Richard Branson lost everything.
Yep.
Imagine he lost everything. And he said, Caroline, all I need is $1 million. Just get me $1 million and you'll be my 50% business partner, you know, in my next venture. How quickly would you get that $1 million together? You know, you'd be going, oh, yeah, because he is wealth. He's not wealthy. He is wealth.
What do you think wealthy, successful people have in common?
Actually, first, can I tell you the illusion that I used to think it was before I became wealthy myself? Is one thing that I realized is that I thought that wealthy people were greedy. I thought wealthy people took everything they possibly could. And what I discovered is that wealthy people really give it all they've got, while poor people take everything they can. And, you know, what they are is they're very caring. They tend to listen. They tend to give. And they tend to contribute in every single way they can. But the illusion of the masses is that, you know, you basically, you find yourself in an environment that you just take. But you look at every wealthy person that I've ever known, gives.
Why is being a millionaire a good thing for people?
I think everybody needs to experience being rich. Because Because the moment that you're rich is the moment that you move out of that desperate position every decision that's made in fear is typically wrong. You know, so when you don't have fear anymore and you just really, you start to learn why you're really here. And why we're really here is to give the best that we possibly can from what is within us. You know, I mean, any great author has given the best that they possibly can to that book. Any great business person has given the best they can to that idea or that product or that service. Anyone who is a great investor, typically, you talk to great investors, they will easily tell you what is a good investment strategy. They will give.
How important is education in this process?
I think education is highly, highly valuable in that we do have to relearn and retrain our brain and learn how to actually get our thinking shifted to the point that we can start accepting more in our lives, mm-hmm. you know, rather than rejecting. You know, however, on the same token, education without action is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's no good just learning. We need to learn, apply. It's like doing trades without money.
All right, one last question. How do we become a money magnet?
How do we become a money magnet? Whoa. Become insatiably in love with the idea of growing our money and asking it to invite its friends to come too and play. You know, the more we play with money, the more we create. The more we create opportunities for others. You know, it's an energy. You know, get in love with the energy of money. That's a good thing.
Rick Schnabel, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome, buddy.
And last week's trading trivia question was, what was the original name of the American Stock Exchange? And the answer is the Curb. Because it was originally started by traders on the streets of New York, standing on and by the curb. And this week's trivia question is, what was the first widely owned piece of stock? Find out the answer next episode. And now here are some tips from my special report, 50 Trading Tips to Fuel Your Profits. Number 1. Distractions will make your mind snap, your fingers falter, and you'll end up buying 5,000 BHP instead of 50.
Oh no!
Number 2. Don't try to buy every lolly in the lolly shop. Trade 3 types of instruments, and out of those 3 markets, something should be trending and making you money. And number 3. There are no returns without some form of risk. Know what you're risking before you place your trade. And now Mind Power with Louise Bedford.
Learn to embrace risk. Risk and uncertainty are the new norm, so you might as well get comfortable with them. Traders do take on greater than normal risks. Most people would rather sit on the couch and stagnate, but you've chosen a road that will make you uncomfortable. Sure, you're going to find it exciting, but you're also going to find it uncomfortable. But rather than saying that you're uncomfortable, you'll come up with excuses. You'll say things like, oh, my spouse doesn't want me to be a trader, or sure, I've got this opportunity to learn from a trader who knows exactly how to milk the markets for money, but I can't afford their course. Or, this is just too big for me. Or, this course looks great, maybe I'll do it next year. And you put off your success yet again. You say you want a terrific trading business and you want it badly. However, you find yourself picking and choosing the little pieces around the fringe that mean that you can still stay in your comfort zone. I'm here to tell you that if you don't move on this and learn how to become an exceptional trader, you are going to be missing out on the best opportunity of your life, because the best opportunities in life will always require you to grow. It'll require you to grow, whether it's emotionally or financially or both, because you're only ever going to grow when you're being stretched or when you are choosing to stretch yourself. I know it's uncomfortable, but I want you to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. It becomes a way of life. get this trading thing under your belt, get it out of the way, learn all about it, and you are going to feel so good. So now is not the time to give up.
And that's all we have for you today, guys. Stay tuned next week to hear Chris Tate's Did You Know segment on bucket shops and hear how even surgeons who are top of the professional tree aren't financially free and why trading is their answer. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. See you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.